A new state budget is in the works after an all-nighter at the state capitol. The Joint Finance Committee just wrapped up about a half an hour ago, finished up with the final big state budget items, including expanding the private school voucher system statewide, public school funding, an income tax cut, and Medicaid or Badger Care funding. We will review what happened and we'll discuss the budget overall with our two guests during this state budget edition of Our Big Question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, June 5th. Every Wednesday at this time, we choose a big issue facing the state or nation and two guests to debate it. And today we want to know, is the proposed two-year state budget generally good or bad for Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Chris Lotto. He is former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant. He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us. And also in studio with us is Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joe.
All right. Well, let's start with Joe Winicky. Is this two-year state budget generally good or bad for Wisconsin?
Well, Bob La Follette, a Republican, would roll over in his grave if he saw what this party had done to the progressive income tax, to public education, to the social safety net for the poor, for voting rights. The list goes on and on. We'll get into it, but it's a disaster.
We will get into it point by point. Your general answer, Chris Lotto, is this budget good or bad for Wisconsin?
I always love these opening questions because it shows just how stark everything is in terms of differences between Democrats and Republicans. Although,
so true.
We'll see. Down the road, we'll see if we get a little closer to each other on some of these points. But I do think this is good for Wisconsin. I do think that when you look at what was passed overnight, the usual late-night budget shenanigans, which happen under Democrats and Republicans, unfortunately, and would love to see that go away. But be that as it may, we now have in Wisconsin, under what Joint Finance did, a tax code that's flatter, simpler, fairer to everybody, a larger income tax cut than even the governor had proposed. Virtually everybody in Wisconsin is going to benefit from this. You have an increase in public school funding that is in line with what moderate Republicans in the Senate wanted, $150 a year over the biennium, and that is even more than Democrats were previously seeking. You have an expansion of private school vouchers in Wisconsin to give low-income families across the state additional choice in making decisions that are right for their students. There are going to be details that still need to be worked out. It still has to go through both houses of the legislature, and then the governor wields a very powerful veto pen in Wisconsin. But certainly, based on the action that was taken overnight and the budget overall, this is good for Wisconsin.
Well, let's zero in on
one thing, Joy, I want to touch on, and not anything negative that Chris, I disagree with him, but I think this thing is a done deal. I mean, the reason that the Finance Committee waited till 6 o'clock in the morning is the governor and the leadership in both houses, all controlled by Republicans, cut the deal. So I don't think there's going to be a bunch of vetoes here, and I don't see a whole bunch of changes either. I think this thing is done and put to bed.
Yeah. Well, Joe, you're right. I mean, and I think that the legislative leaders, Republican leaders in both houses, indicated that they were going to try and get it through without any changes. The only question is, and Joe, obviously has past legislative experience and can maybe shed some light on this, is that whether, an arrangement was worked out with the governor's office to say, here's where we're at and, what kind of assurances can we get? And, the governor still has that veto power, but certainly this thing moving through the legislature, leadership is indicating that they want to see that happen, and I think they believe it.
On the major issues, Chris, the governor signed off on all of these, or else he's a pretty bad governor, and which I may agree on, but he was involved in this.
Well, Joe, why did this take all night? There was negotiations going on to reach deals on all of these things.
Vouchers are very controversial, including in conservative areas. You're taking direct dollars out of the public public schools and giving to private and parochial school vouchers here at the tune of $7,050 a pupil. So, you know, in my hometown of Verona, which has 5,000 kids, which is amazing because when I went there, I went to a one-room school, is at 1% of their enrollment, it would be 50 kids. It's still a $350,000 hit to that school district. You take a school district the size of Madison with 25,000 kids, you know, I mean, you're talking 250 times 7,000, you're $1.5 million going out of those schools. It's controversial. And there's a whole bunch of issues relating to church-state separation. I mean, we haven't touched on it, but they put a private school tuition tax credit in here.
In addition to the expansion of the vouchers.
Republicans used to be against that because, you know, they wanted parochial and private schools to be able to do their own thing without state, you know, strings. This stuff is radical.
Talk a little bit, though, about the moderate Republicans who were opposed to the expansion of school choice as Governor Walker proposed, apparently signing off on this.
They got schnookered.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, the governor proposed to go to 9 so-called failing school districts because one school, based on some standardized test, didn't do so well some year. Now it's statewide. Any school can do it. And they put in another little clincher in here that says that the voucher number is going to be able to go up by the amount of state aid increases in the future, which means the door is now opened. And once you start giving these dollars, it's the public school that's going to be under attack. And this is a statewide school voucher with this year and next year having some modest real limitations for 2 years. But what's going to stop them now that the barn door is open?
Chris?
Well, a lot of ground to cover in a short amount of time. I think, first of all, going back to the question about moderate Republicans, it's one of those things when one party really has the power, and that's obviously where Republicans are at right now, you are going to see these factions kind of split off, and they do have more juice because you do still need everybody to pull together at the end. For example, very conservative Republicans in the Assembly, 11 of them signing a letter saying, I want this, this, and this, or I'm not voting for the budget. Well, if every Democrat stands together and those 11 Republicans peel off, suddenly you don't have a budget. Similar to moderate senators like Ellis and Olson in the Senate. You have an 18-15 majority. You're going to need, at the end of the day, everybody you get, and that's why all the negotiating and horse trading is going on behind closed doors. Regarding the school choice vouchers, it's really a different plan, obviously, from what the governor proposed. It is a statewide plan. The number is capped very low, but look, Joe is right. I mean, the door is now open to statewide vouchers. And as we all know, and Reagan once said, and I'm paraphrasing, once there's a government program, it's that much harder to kill it off. So the door is open to continuing to expand it in the state. Under this budget, though, it is very small. I mean, we're talking about 1,000 students. It is being redirected, toward those, much, much closer to the federal poverty level. I think 185%, whereas in Milwaukee and Racine, it was at 300%. So it really is getting back to that original goal of making sure that those most in need are the ones that have the option in Wisconsin.
And Chris, I mean, and I think you know this, but at 185%, it's around $50,000 roughly in household income.
Mm-hmm.
What about this tuition tax credit, Chris, for people who send their kids to private schools?
Or parochial.
Yeah, it's another example of how I think that there was horse trading going on. Joe said that the Republicans were being snookered. I think that's, these guys are smarter than that, and I think they recognize that this was the best they were going to get. It's no secret that there were Republicans in Wisconsin that were uncomfortable with the voucher expansion, and I think that the final plan that has come out is an obvious concession to that to try and bring them into the tent as well.
Joe, you're not at all comforted by this increase in public school funding, the $150 per pupil?
Now we're only $400 a pupil behind where we were 4 years ago. People forget that the governor and the legislature 2 years ago cut $550 a pupil out of public schools, funded it off the backs of public workers, and now they get roughly a third of it, 25 to 30% of it back. Whoop-de-doo.
We are talking about the state budget. The Joint Finance Committee this morning finished up with the final big items, including private school vouchers. We'll talk some after the break about the income tax cut. And we will also talk about Medicaid or Badger Care funding. And we will welcome your input. Do you think that this proposed two-year state budget is generally good or bad for Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up later today, it's At Issue. Whether you are looking for workers or for work, you can join in the June job line after 3 o'clock during At Issue. This is our big question segment. Every Wednesday at this time, we choose a big issue facing the state or nation and two guests to debate it. And today we are debating the proposed two-year state budget. Joint Finance Committee yesterday, actually, I shouldn't say yesterday, I should say this morning, wrapped up work on the state budget, and we're talking about what it did and welcoming your input, too. We have callers, so let's go to John in Windsor first. Hello, John.
Yes, Joy. Lee Dreyfus. I don't know if you remember that name or not.
I sure do.
But Lee Dreyfus, back when I was up in Point, we supported him, and he got into office, and he gave back this huge supposedly tax surplus. And what ended up happening is we started running this huge deficit. Tony Earle had to come in and have a surcharge on taxes in order to pay down the deficit. This is exactly what is going on right now. Why are we cutting $1 billion, having $1 billion in tax cuts when we have this structural deficit? We do not take the federal Medicaid dollars. 85,000 people are going to be tossed off of health care. You know, this is a very good budget for very wealthy people. It is a very bad budget for very poor people.
Thank you very much, John. I do remember that rebate, I believe it was called, that Lee Dreyfus sent me $40, I think I got in the late 70s when that happened.
I bought a bowling ball.
Yeah, Chris Lotto, this is a good budget for rich people and a bad budget for poor people. But to talk specifically about whether we can afford this income tax cut.
Well, yeah, and that's a good talking point, but I don't think it really reflects the reality of the situation. You know, what is happening is that right now we are running a surplus, and I look forward to hearing Joe's insight on this because he, I'm sure, knows these things better than I do. But, you know, the fact is that as a state, we have long been in need of reforming the way the state does its budgeting. And the idea that, you know, we constantly run a structural deficit and there's a lot of hocus pocus involved in how we come up with the numbers, that's one thing. But I think the key to what we're seeing from the Joint Finance Committee and the action they took is really the improvements in the tax code. We're going from 5 brackets to 4. We're getting rid of a lot of the tax credits that are in there. Everybody is going to benefit from these revisions. You're going to see income tax rates coming down across the board. You're going to see everybody benefiting from this. And I think that ultimately, you know, this is good for Wisconsin because this is what leads to economic development. This is what puts more money in the pockets of every taxpayer in the state and is going to help them out. This is the kind of thing that drives the economic engine. So this is good for the state in that sense.
And why don't you think it's good for the state, Joe?
The caller is actually much closer to correct than many would know. And I was there in 1983. I was in my first term. My first vote as a member of the legislature was to fix Lee Dreyfus's mess. And, yes, I did buy a bowling ball with my $40. The problem with this is it's actually about $1 billion income tax cut because of the fact that income taxes are run on an annual basis, and this budget will, so it won't even start until January of 2014, and then it doesn't impact anybody till January of 2015 because of the one-year lag plus the 6 months. So it's about $1 billion, and it is one-time money. They're using one-time money to pay for $1 billion tax cut, and the reason for that is that if you look at the data of how we developed this roughly $500 million surplus, which is, by the way, less than this income tax cut, most of it came from capital gains. income tax collections and sales tax collections were flat. That's where the state makes its ongoing money. So this is basically one-time money based on the stock market going nuts for 2 years. And it happened all over the country. That's how California got a surplus and the like. But what we're doing, and where the caller is correct, is we're using one-time money to give back on a permanent basis. And the worst part is roughly 5% of the people in this state make over $100,000 AGI a year. They're getting 63% of the tax cut. In fact, someone, according to the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, somebody who makes $50,000 a year next year will get a $90 tax cut. Somebody who makes $300,000 a year will get a $1,627 tax cut. So much for fairness. So much for progressivity. Hallelujah if you're rich.
Yeah, well, what about the argument that they're gonna create jobs with that?
Yeah. Is that why we're 44th in the country in job creation and 48th in personal income growth?
Or use that money to buy stuff to create jobs?
Well, we don't build trains and we don't put money into infrastructure. We give it back to people who make over $100,000 a year. That's what this budget does. And then it gives a whole bunch of money to private and parochial schools.
Chris?
Well, then I guess, I mean, using Joe's argument, then the alternative is let's tax people more, and that somehow helps the state. I mean, is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is do not cut taxes using one-time money for a permanent tax cut. Some of that money could have also gone into shoring up public education, shoring up human services. This budget takes 89,000 people off Badger Care, which is the health insurance plan for moderate and low-income people, at a time when it costs and then they reject $120 million in federal Medicaid money. This is crazy!
And put them on federal exchanges and give more money to
who can afford the federal exchange, Chris, when you're making $20,000 a year?
Even the Democrats wanted to see in public schools, they're going to get even more money under what the Joint Finance Committee enacted.
That's not correct. They wanted $275 a year.
No matter what the Democrats, no matter what the Republicans, you know, enact, it's always going to be the sky is falling with Democrats. It's just the way it's going to be.
Well, Chris, talk a little bit more about the Badger Care situation. You're saying that those being kicked off Badger Care will go to the exchanges being created under the Affordable Care Act?
Well, yeah. I mean, we know, you know, Governor Walker has rejected the federal money that would have expanded, Medicaid, and instead is moving them over to the federal health care exchanges. So folks do have options. And, you know, this idea that, well, it's coming from the Fed, so it's like having free money. That's the way Democrats look at this. It's all coming out of the same, you know, pool. I mean, whether you're taking it out of my back pocket or my left-hand front pocket, it's still tax dollars. And Governor Walker and the Republicans are looking at this as a better way to do it in Wisconsin and make sure that folks remain covered. So this idea that they're being kicked off and people are going to be wandering around with no health insurance is simply not true.
So the governor and the legislature reject federal health care, the Affordable Care Act, which they derisively call Obamacare. They reject it out of hand. It's terrible. We can't take the money. But poor people, a single mom with two kids making $20,000 a year, can go on a federal exchange so that we don't have to deal with them. Let's just brush that under the rug, sweep that under the rug, and then tell that single mom with two kids who's making 18 or 20 grand that they have to fork out $400 a month for health care. They can't do it. That's why there are poor people. And this budget is so, it's a war on poor people. It's sad.
Elaine in Madison joins us. Hello, Elaine.
Hi. I'm wondering what kind of tax, I don't even pay taxes because they don't make enough money. What's going to happen to the elderly and the poor who are not getting any benefit from this tax refund?
Do you have an answer to that, Chris?
I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's such a broad question. I mean, the idea that if you don't pay taxes, I'm not sure how you'd benefit from a tax cut, I guess, would be the short answer to that.
Well, she's not getting a tax cut, but she's worried about how the elderly and the poor are going to fare from now on with this budget. Do you think they're going to be okay?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's the sky is falling mentality that all safety nets for those who are truly in need are going away, and that's just not true. On the face of it, it's not true. Yes, there are changes going on in healthcare. There are changes going on in the tax code. There are changes going on in education. But this idea that it's such a catastrophically awful budget that the world is going to come to an end and that the poor people are going to be, you know, and the elderly are going to be out in the streets with no safety net if they really need it in place in Wisconsin is absurd on its face.
True.
And we haven't even gotten into the war on the unemployed that they took up out of nowhere, violated the 50-year history of the Unemployment Advisory Council.
Well, we have 2 minutes. That was where they said that they have to apply for 4 jobs instead of 2.
Well, that's a small part of it. But by the way, that's fine if you want to flip hamburgers. But if you were a professional and say you're 56 and you got laid off and you have to find 4 jobs that are somewhat commensurate to not going bankrupt, tell me where they are in this state. They don't exist. But worse, they're going to allow the state to peek into your bank account to see if you're cheating. They're going to make it tougher and tougher to have reasons how you can even be eligible for unemployment. This is just an evil, rotten budget. So they're picking on poor people by cutting the safety net, taking 90,000 people off Badger Care. They're whacking the people that are on unemployment. There's no new money for, you know, safety net traditional programs that go through the counties. Chris, this is hurting poor people. It really is.
We have just a minute before a news break, Chris. Can you counter the unemployment issue?
Well, I have to be honest. I'm not familiar with every detail on what is being proposed on unemployment, but in a general sense, based on what Joe is talking about, the idea that you have to be out looking for and applying for a certain number of jobs to continue to get benefits, I don't understand why that is. I mean, you're basically asking people to, you know, in order to earn the benefits, to prove that they're out there looking for work. Are we still struggling in this state, as we are nationwide, to recover economically and develop the jobs that we'd all, you know, love to have, higher paying, more secure? Of course we are. Wisconsin is still struggling with that, and everybody knows it. But this is a budget that, in general, is trying to get us back to the days when those jobs and more of them are available. It's a rebuilding process. It doesn't happen overnight, but this is a budget that is a big step in the right direction.
We will check news and then we will continue debating today's big question. Is the proposed state budget, as passed by the Joint Finance Committee, generally good or bad for Wisconsin and why? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are getting two perspectives on the latest state budget votes, and we welcome yours, too, during this state budget big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, June 5th. The Joint Finance Committee spent the night voting on the final major state budget items, including expanding private school vouchers statewide. Public school funding, there was an increase of $150 per pupil. There is a new income tax cut, and there are changes to Medicaid funding. And we want to know from you, do you think the proposed 2-year state budget as passed by the Joint Finance Committee this morning is generally good or bad for Wisconsin and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are getting the takes of Republican Chris Lotto and Democrat Joe Winicky in this big question debate. And let's go right back to the phones as callers are waiting. Brent in Madison is with us. Hello, Brent.
Hi. Our budgets really reflect our values. And I moved my family from out of state to Wisconsin in part 13 years ago because I just thought the values of Wisconsin aligned with mine, one that valued public schools, valued children, valued taking care of our neighbors, and there's seemingly nothing in this budget that does this. And I have to hang it on the Republicans, unfortunately. You know, I think that the new tagline of the Republicans should be the mean white guys party.
Well, you want to respond to that, Chris Lotto?
Well, yeah, we have some mean white ladies as well, so don't forget them. We don't want to be sexist. Well, to be serious, I mean, it's a broad sweeping statement, and I'm sure that I speak for everybody on the air right now when I say I hope he stays in Wisconsin. I think that when you have one party in power, as we do with Republicans in the legislature and the governor's office, no matter what you do is going to be under attack. And yeah, this is a budget that for better or worse is going to be hanging around the Republicans' neck. So if it does not do what we want it to do, that is to say put more money in the pockets of working families and working citizens in Wisconsin by making the tax code simpler, flatter, and fairer, and improving education, including educational choice, and putting more money toward public education, making, you know, needed changes to the way healthcare is provided in this state, and a whole host of other issues, you know, this is the Republican budget. This is what it is. So if it doesn't work, then you will have that opportunity, sir, to eventually vote Republicans out. But I think, you know, this broad strokes, well, we're the old mean white guy's party is, you know, all due respect, absurd.
Joe, comment?
Well, I'm sorry. This is not the Republican Party I used to know. You know, the Tiny Kriegers and Mel Lairds and even current people that I served with, Dale Schultz, Mike Ellis, Rob Coles, Luther Olson, Sheila Harsdorf. Yes, I'm calling all of you out. What happened? This is such an overreach. The Republican Party I used to know wouldn't have cut taxes, income taxes, by $1 billion with one-time money. They wouldn't have allowed parochial and private school vouchers and tuition tax credits into a budget. They wouldn't have done this war on the unemployed. They wouldn't have cut stewardship by about 40%. They wouldn't have done any of these things. They would, I mean, my gosh. I mean, this isn't the Republican Party. I know this is the Republican Party that has been taken over by the far right, and good, sensible moderates are so afraid that they're going to get taken out in a primary, they go along. And it's wrong. Now, if Democrats did this, I would be chastising them just as much, because Chris keeps talking about, oh, they're in power, they're, you know, therefore they're going to get attacked on everything. They deserve to be attacked on this.
Let's move to Mary Pat from Wauwatosa, who emails, I haven't heard anything in the committee discussions about the cuts to public transportation. Many of us attended the listening sessions to urge the committee to protect and preserve funding for our bus system. What happened? Well, we looked it up, and it's Governor Walker proposed no increase for local mass transit in his two-year budget. The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee would increase it by 4% or $5.3 million annually. That was from earlier this week. I guess I'm not positive if that's changed. Do you know, Joe Winnicke?
No, I do not.
Yeah. Chris Lotto?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything on whether that has changed.
There is one thing I would quickly touch on, though, on transportation issues. Governor Walker, when he ran against Mayor Barrett in 2010, really tried to hang around Mayor Barrett and Governor Doyle this so-called raiding of the transportation fund to give to public schools. In this budget, Governor Walker steals more from the general fund, the public fund, to give to transportation than Jim Doyle ever did the other way. But nobody knows it because, frankly, Joy, outside of a few shows like this, the statewide media no longer has the ability to do investigative reporting. They just don't have the resources. So nobody reports on this stuff, except for me.
Chris, we want to respond to that.
We just want to thank Joe for his public service.
But the governor did. The governor also, though, said that he was going to have to. We would have to delay some transportation projects because of funding, didn't he, Joe?
Yes, yeah. A short term. I mean, they're not off the table. I think the big one, and it's over in Chris's area, is around the zoo interchange somewhere.
But he's still spending more on transportation than maybe some say we can afford, Chris Lotto?
I'm pro-transportation, so I'm not going to attack that.
Well, yeah, and I think that, you know, to the listener's point or question, you know, it sounds like there is a proposed increase in transportation funding, which is better than what the governor sought. So, you know, that should be seen as good news.
Let's take another call from Casey in Madison. Hello, Casey.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What's your thought about the state budget?
I have a comment about the private school vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
Your guest has a concern that the teachers and higher unemployment in teachers sector, but when there's a children, you know, children will go to school anyway, either it's private school or public school, and there's more children in private school, the private schools will hire more teachers. So I think it would level out. I don't think there would be a problem with unemployment.
All right. I don't recall if you said something about that, Joe, but private schools will hire teachers, so all is good.
Well, no, I didn't say anything about that at all. I guess my argument is a constitutional one, that Article 10, Section 3 of the Wisconsin Constitution, paraphrasing, guarantees a free public education to every student in the state, every child in the state. And we have a compulsory education law, so you have to go to school until you're 16. Public, private, parochial, it doesn't matter. Or homeschool, for that matter. And my only point is this move away towards parochial, private, vouchers, you name it, uninstrumented charters, are all attacks on the one thing that the state is obligated to do in its constitution, and that's guarantee a public education.
Do you want to counter that, Chris?
Well, Wisconsin has a good public school system. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. It is solid. It performs well. There is always room for improvement, and certainly in some districts in Wisconsin where we are seeing, high school graduation rates not where they ought to be, where we're seeing high school graduation rates for minority students not where they need to be, even in places like Madison and Green Bay, where they, compared to white students and even compared to their counterparts at MPS are not as high as they should be. What the goal is here is to provide additional options for families to make a decision on what's best for their kid. And this is a program that really is, in this budget anyway, is very small in the grand scheme of things. And there is a corresponding increase in public school funding as well. So this is an effort to make sure that kids really are getting the best education in Wisconsin. It is introducing a competitive spirit into the state, and that's going to increase performance for all. We've seen that in Milwaukee. We've seen where MPS is performing better than it was before choice. And we're also seeing more students graduating via the vouchers.
Chris, can you tell me a single study that shows that the kids in the choice schools in Milwaukee are doing better than the public schools in Milwaukee? Because I haven't seen one.
I do not have a study in front of me, but this is based on my reading and looking into the performance levels. So, I mean, are you saying they're doing worse?
That's my understanding from what I've read, and I have read a couple studies on it. And by the way, I'm not necessarily against choice schools or vouchers. What I'm against is that they're taking money directly out of money that would go to public schools, to wit, the $400 reduction in public school per pupil allowable spending, which is the only thing that really matters to a K-12 school in this state, is how much does the state allow you to spend.
Let me move to another issue. Did not get voted on last night, but it's education related. The UW had funding cut from it earlier in the budget process. Is this a good budget for higher education, Chris Lotto?
It depends on how you look at it, and I think that in this budget cycle in particular, the UW system really cooked its own goose with the thousands of, for lack of a better word, covert bank accounts that were being kept across the state, and all this money being effectively shielded from public view. I mean, that obviously raised the ire of legislators on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, and the votes in the Joint Finance Committee reflect that. The fact is that tuition and tax dollars for the UW system were frozen, and the new flexibilities that the UW system were put on hold as part of this budget process. And really, the UW only has itself to blame. I mean, they do have a cash reserve of hundreds of millions of dollars that is built up, so they will be able to take care of some of those initiatives. But this is really one of those cases where the politics of this situation really hit the UW system hard. But I think the UW has only itself to blame on this one.
Joe?
Well, so they got sledgehammered. They sure did. And, I used to call the public relations wing of the University of Wisconsin the big red fog machine because they were so good at what they did. But I agree with Chris. They were a disaster waiting to happen when it came to how they handled this. Saying that, is it a real shock that at a time when in the last budget, the university got hit with a $310 million reduction in state support, where state support is now down in the 20% range of total university spending, that they would be looking to build some reserves because anticipating the future. And yes, they were too high. They're about twice as high as they should have been, in my opinion. But here's the deal. Yeah, there were thousands of those accounts, but think of it. There's 26 campuses. How many departments are in each campus? Every department has their own account. Every department has a fund that at the end of the day. And here's the sad reality. We did the broad brush hammer. We attacked them, took away all their money, said, take it out of your surplus account. Well, some of those surplus accounts have too much money. But what happens if you're the art department at UW-Stout, just making up if they have one, I hope they do, and they didn't have a surplus? Now they're hosed.
Well, I don't think you know, during this period, you have student debt going up and up and up. You have tuition rates in the UW system going up and up and up. So I don't think you're going to get a very sympathetic year for the UW system.
Chris, I agree with you. I agree with you, Chris. I guess my argument was that the broad brush approach of how you deal with this is going to really hurt certain campuses, certain departments more than others, just because they didn't build that surplus, but they're going to pay the price.
And back to your point, Joe, I mean, they have a lot of bridge building to do, and you know, this is a serious wounding of that relationship when it seemed like things, you know, check me if I'm wrong, maybe we're showing signs of improvement, actually. This is a really big setback, and they, you know, both sides, and particularly the UW, need to focus on getting back on track.
And it was the first time I ever noticed that anybody actually thought the president of the system actually had control over any of those campuses.
And I should note that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and that being said, Charles in Wausau is our next caller. Hello, Charles.
Good morning. Let me say it. Over the weekend, I thought it was a marvelous irony to hear RNC Chair Reince Priebus say how terrible it would be if one party had a monopoly over the houses of government. But I oppose everything in this budget, and I think it's the best possible thing for Wisconsin. During the recall campaigns, you know, and even during Governor Walker's first election, the Democrats were saying how radical and terrible this guy was going to be. And in his first 2 years, he had so much opposition that we really didn't see how radical and terrible this guy would be. I think it's going to be healthy for Wisconsin in the long run to see how radical, not conservative, but how radical this party is right now in history. So I oppose it. I'm worried about where we're going to go. But I think it will be good for the state to see this guy's true colors.
Well, you know what? Because we are actually at the end of our big question debate segment, why don't I use that to spring into closing statements? You can react to what our caller had to say, but also sort of sum up your thoughts on whether this is a good or bad budget for Wisconsin. And we'll start with Joe and end with Chris at the end here.
Well, actually, I used the same term at the start of the show. I call it radical. And it is a radical budget. It is regressive. It will lead to a much larger structural deficit than even Governor Walker proposed. It hurts the safety net in a huge way. Where else would you get $120 million less in healthcare money so you can insure 89,000 fewer people? I mean, that's just mean and vicious. The attacks on public education are stuff that in the old days, the Republicans would have opposed that. The Democrats might have supported it more than the Republicans. This is just a nutty budget.
Let me get you, though, one more statement, Joe, on whether or not this is going to, I don't know, wake up the populace and throw out the Republicans.
We don't have much of a fourth estate anymore. I think the average citizen in the summertime is worrying about where they're going on vacation. Money talks. The Republicans are loaded. Reapportionment walks. They restructured the districts so badly. I think the Democrats will make improvements next year, and actually I think they have a chance of taking the state Senate, but they don't have a chance of getting the Assembly. And the governor could get beat, but you got to have a candidate.
Chris Lotto, your closing remarks on whether or not this is a budget that's good or bad for Wisconsin.
Oh, so much to say, but let's summarize quickly. I think, first of all, to the caller's point that it's an unmitigated disaster on every single level imaginable, I think reasonable people would take a look at that statement and think otherwise. You probably, if you're out there, you know, listening, have your own pet issue that you're concerned about, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I think overall the focus on this budget is on the right things. It is focused on improving education. It is focused on on addressing the tax code, making it flatter and fairer for everyone. It is focused on dealing with what the federal government has handed Wisconsin in the form of Obamacare and trying to make the best of the situation. And to those Democrats who are, you know, who are crying into their, I was going to say crying in their beers, but at 8 in the morning they shouldn't be, they're crying into their coffee. The politics is by nature cyclical. And sooner or later the Democrats will be back in power and I'll be back on the air with joy, bemoaning the terrible budget that Democrats have passed. But I think for now this is the right direction for the state and, it's an ambitious budget and I think that the Joint Finance Committee has passed what is a solid document.
Chris Lotto and Joe Winicky, thank you both very much for being here. Chris Lotto is former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a Republican campaign consultant, and Joe Winicky is a former state senator and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Okay, you heard from both of our guests during today's big question debate. Now it's time for you to sound off. Is the proposed state budget good or bad for Wisconsin and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can also vote in our online poll, which is at wpr.org/joy, and it's linked to the Facebook page as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Quick check of our weather forecast for today. It's going to be rainy today, highs in the 50s and 60s. Time now for our sound-off portion of our big question debate. Is the proposed state budget good or bad for Wisconsin and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You just get 30 seconds to state your case so we can get as many callers in as possible. Tom in Burlington is with us. Hello, Tom.
The budget is very bad for the state of Wisconsin. First you fix the economy, then you fix the budget. And when you have a bad economy like this, we have to get money into the hands of the people. And working on transportation, they should have had the railroad come in here so we could make the Wisconsin Dells a focal point of tourism in our state.
Thank you very much, Tom. Appreciate it. We'll go next to Joan in Eau Claire. Hello, Joan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. This budget is very bad for Wisconsin. I'm terribly concerned about our state. I agree with the previous caller that this Republican governor and this Republican legislature is radical, beholden only to the far right and Tea Party interests. And I do hope that they get called out, and I do hope that they get voted out because we realize how radical his policies are. I'm hoping it happens sooner than later. Unfortunately, it didn't happen in the recall election last year, but thanks very much for taking my call.
Thank you very much, Joan. Mary in Pewaukee is next. Hello, Mary.
Good morning. I think it's bad. I think Chris, your guest, Republican guest, said it right when he said it's a good thing for hardworking Wisconsinites. We're not all hardworking Wisconsinites because of whatever reasons. There are people that are poor, indigent, mental and physical problems that can't work. This is bad for Wisconsin as a whole because it's not going to help those people.
Thank you very much, Mary. 30 seconds. We appreciate it. Wayne in Green Bay. Hi, Wayne.
Good morning. I think it's bad for Wisconsin. It favors the very wealthy and it hurts the poor. And the thing about the voucher really is disturbing. Taking away local control. Every poll I've seen show that Wisconsin is not in favor of expanding these vouchers, but yet the Republicans go their route because they get the majority.
Thank you very much. And we can go 15 seconds with Jean. Hi, Jean in Appleton.
Yes, it's bad because of the school voucher program and expansion, and it's also bad because of the tax cuts that go mainly to the wealthy.
Thank you very much. Well, that's it for on-air voting on the state budget, whether or not you think it's good or bad. But you can continue voting online. We have our online poll set up on WPR.org/joy, also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So far, 89% of you voting online say the budget is bad. Only 9% say it's good. Keep on voting online. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio congratulates Madison area high school students participating in the Overture Center's 2013 Tommy Awards, recognizing excellence in musical theater production. The final ceremony on Sunday, June 16th in Overture Hall is the culminating event and celebrates award recipients in each category. Wisconsin Public Radio is pleased to support young musical